Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me real love, I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. Oh, now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. You gave me beauty from my guilty stains. Listen. And now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me real love, I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. Oh, now I'm living.
Glory. Amen. Amen. How many is thankful for mercy this morning? Grace and mercy. Hallelujah. You are here because of grace and mercy. Praise God this morning. Thank you, Jesus. If you would turn with me to the book of Genesis this morning, the very first book of the Bible this morning, Genesis chapter 8 here today, Genesis chapter 8. And I don't think it's going to be up there. We're having some problems with the computer today. So, sorry, that's why the words wasn't up there this morning. But it's the way it goes, right? Technology is good when it's working.
Amen.
But when it's not, man, our world's falling apart, seems like. Y'all remember the other day, 2 weeks ago, Facebook went down? Man, people were just, they were done. They felt like, you know, it's just the end of the world. Facebook was down. Instagram was down. And so technology is good when it's working, and when it's not, it's just one of those things. But, amen, but they might get it up and going here in just a moment. But Genesis chapter 8. And I want to begin reading at verse 20 this morning. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And then I want to finish up that chapter and jump into chapter 9 and look at verse 1. The Bible says this, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of the man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything that is living, as I have done already." Verse 22, "While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, the day and night shall not cease." And verse 9 says this, chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Father, your word is blessed. Now, God, speak to your people in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. And man, I want to give you a title this morning. Somebody said to me this morning, they said, I didn't see your title on Facebook. I didn't see you promote the title. You didn't do a video. What's going on? I went to AJ's last night. That's why. And after AJ's, I couldn't even walk straight. Man. But I began to think, and I told myself, I said, I'm not going to promote this title here because the people are not going to get it until afterwards. But the title that I wanted to bring to you this morning is simply this, that hell has no altars. Hell has no altars. Now, I can tell the way that you're looking at me this morning is kind of one of those, huh, moments. So that's why I didn't want to put it on, throw it out there, because I know how your mind works. You're like, well, I don't understand that, and that don't make sense, and I don't even like that title. So I think we're going to go to the lake Sunday morning. That's how it works, right? So I just wanted to refrain from the title and share it with you this morning, but it's all going to come together if you'll just stay with me this morning for a few moments, that hell has no altars. And I begin to think, and in prayer and preparation of this week, of the message, I begin to think about the importance of the altars. Begin to think about how powerful the altars still are. Amen. Church, I want you to understand that the establishment, the construction, and the ownership of an altar is mentioned 378 times throughout the Word of God. So God has placed a great emphasis on altars. An altar is a meeting place for God and humanity. An altar is a place for God's mercy to come down. An altar is a place of communication and direction that God gives to us. It's the place of submission. It's a place of humanity, for submission for humanity. An altar was so important to God. As a matter of fact, he required it to be in the tabernacle in the wilderness. The Bible talks about the brazen altar was put directly in the front entrance into the tabernacle. And the first order of business conducted was at the brazen altar. And the failure to do so resulted in death. So you got to understand that God puts a heavy emphasis on the altar. An altar is so important to God. As a matter of fact, he even put one in heaven. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, that another angel came and stood at the altar having gold censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he could offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne of God. So this morning, I would submit to you today that an altar is a very important asset in the kingdom of God. It's a very important asset. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you today, saints of God, lives are changed at the altar. I remember when mine was. Many of you, if you're a Christ follower, a child of God, a Christian, then you remember making an altar somewhere and repenting your life back to God and sacrificing your life to God and asking God to come in and do something different in your life. I want you to understand, first of all, that these wooden pieces are just, listen, the thing you've got to understand is this is more than just a decoration for this building. These two wooden things that I came in and barefooted one night, I have to say no more. and it was dark, and my toe found that altar over there. You know how it is. But they are more than just a decoration piece for this building. It's where God interacts with his people. As a matter of fact, there aren't enough pages in the book. There's not enough time in the day, and there's not enough space on a hard drive to tell you all the wonderful things that have happened at the altars of God. Now, please don't misunderstand me. An altar is not so much about the place as it is about the purpose and the person. You understand that with me, right? That it's not so much about the place. I don't want you to get in your mind that in order for me to go and pray at the altar, I've got to get into the church house. No, it's more about the purpose and the person. Your steering wheel in your car can be a place of an altar. The purpose is you pouring your heart out to God. The person is you communicating with God. Right at your bedside can be a place of an altar. Some of you may have a room as a prayer room in your house, a place of communication. It's a purpose that you talk to God. It's a person that you yourself submit yourself to God. So understand, don't misunderstand that an altar is not so much about the place here at the church, but the altar in this church could tell a story. But an altar isn't a place, it's a person and a purpose, and that person is a sacrifice. The purpose is a sacrifice in communication with God. An altar can be a place where you submit yourself to worship and give God your undivided attention. And when you have done that, saints of God, God will move and great things will happen in your lives. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying this, church, don't forsake the altars. Don't forsake the place of prayer. Don't forsake the purpose of prayer. Don't forsake the time of getting together in your home and praying and spending personal time with God. As a matter of fact, you want to see God move again? Then don't forsake the altars. I've heard the statement more times than what I can remember. Man, God used to move. God used to do that. You want to see it move? Get yourself in the altars again and submit yourself to God and watch God pour his spirit out upon all flesh again. Amen. You want to see God save your family? Don't forsake the altars. You want to see God heal your bodies? Don't forsake the altars. You want to see God do something special in your life and clean you up and break addictions in your life. And you want to see God put things back together that have been broken in your life. Then listen, don't forsake the altars. Why? Because there's power in the altars. I want to know this morning, did anybody come to touch him today? Did anybody come to seek him today? Did anybody come to find him today? Did anybody just come to give him praise? Did anybody come here this morning for an answer to a question that you may be asking God? Did anybody come needing an answer? Did anybody come needing direction from God for the door to be open in your life? Did anybody come to feel the presence of God this morning? Then if you would answer any of these, I would submit to you that you can have all the above at the altar. There's something powerful, church, about the altar. An altar, you can start fresh. I kind of chuckle and I kind of laugh at people when they say this. I've messed my life up. You know what I do? I high five them and I say this, welcome to the family, man. Why? Because we all have been there. We've all done that. We've all been down roads that you know what? We don't even want to look back. because it brings back memories. It brings back pain. We've all done some things in our life that we regret. And I have. We've all done things in life that we wish that it was just a dream and it was never true. We've all been there. But what makes it new again is the altar. Is finding a place of prayer, submitting your life back to God and saying, God, today I need a brand new, fresh start again in my life. I want to tell somebody, the altar can give you a fresh start to life, or the altar can just give you a fresh start to a week. If you feel like I've had a week that, man, it's been a week from you know where, and I'd like to start. Listen, the altar is a place for a fresh start. The first recorded altar builder in the Word of God was a man by the name of Noah. Nowhere in the Bible before the flood is there a mention of an altar. As a matter of fact, I read that Cain and Abel offered sacrifices, but no altar was built. The first thing that Noah did when he came off the ark after the flood was this. He built an altar unto God. Noah was thankful that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord and made a new beginning after the flood. He turned over a new leaf in his life, and something happens when you come to an altar ready for a change. Hear me today. Sinners are transformed at the altars of God. Come on, let's give him thanks for that if it's ever happened to you. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, some of you may be saying, why is he yelling this morning? Man, I get stirred. I can't help it. I'll try to calm down. But man, when I talk about the altars, it brings back things in my life that God has done for me. It brings back where God has brought me from. It brings back the things that God has forgiven me of in my life. It brings back a time where God has given me a new start, a new beginning, where old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Oh, I'm trying to calm down. Just forgive me. But something happens when you come to an altar. An altar can change. Listen again, sinners are transformed at the altars of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, brand new person, a new leaf, a new day, a new year, a new time, a new season. It's at an altar that a way out can be provided for you. If you've come here this morning, you feel like that my life feels like it's at a dead end and I don't know where else to go. And it seems like I've got a door A, B, and C, but I've already tried them. And I have nowhere else I can turn to. Hear me today. It's at an altar that a way out can be provided for you. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, and they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham, I love this story, that he built an altar there. He laid the wood in order there. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand. And listen, he took a knife. Yeah, you're hearing this story, right? Took a knife to slay his son. Why? Because God said, I want to see if you really, really love me. I want to see if I can really trust you. I want to see, Abraham, that can I really depend on you? Are you the kind of guy that I can depend upon? If so, then here's what you need to do. And he raised the knife to slay his son. In verse 11, and an angel of the Lord called unto out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said these words, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon this boy, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. In other words, now that I see that you would do what I've asked you to do, I'm proud of you. Don't lay a hand on him. Don't kill this boy after all. In verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, he took the ram, and he untangled the ram, and he offered up a burnt offering instead of his son. Hear me today, saints of God, that if you've come looking for an answer and you're willing to sacrifice, God will always provide whatever you have need of. Now, we don't like the very word sacrifice. What is the word sacrifice? I mean, in biblical terms, it meant completely different what I just read to you. But what does it mean to us? It means to us today that we offer up something unto God. That we kill who we used to be. We kill the pride. We lay the pride down in the altars, and we sacrifice our old self. We sacrifice the old attitude. We sacrifice the old habits. We sacrifice the old thoughts that we used to have. We sacrifice the old us. And we ask God for a brand new, fresh start in life. And when you learn to sacrifice who you used to be, God will provide something for you that's brand new. It's at an altar that promises are made. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. There build an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Listen, it's there that promises are made. When you got married, 9 times out of 10, whether it was at a house, I'm doing more house weddings lately and I love them. Whether it was outside standing off a cliff of a mountain, whether it was in a church coming down, whether it was at a country club, wherever it was at, you came down and you made a commitment to the other person. There was a commitment that you made. There was a promise that you made. The place where you gathered was a place of an altar. It was a place where promises were made. And listen, when you come down to an altar, whether it be in a church, whether it be beside your bedside, wherever it may be, listen, when you make promises to God, God makes promises back to you. It's at an altar that God can appear to you. If you've come here this morning saying, I just need an answer. I need God to do something. I need God to show me something. Well, Genesis 35, verse 7, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Listen, an altar is a place where God can come and show up in your life. Amen. When God shows up, anything is possible, saints of God. It's at an altar where God will fight your battles for you. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Don't forsake the altars. Church, don't forsake the altars. Exodus 17 says this, and Moses built an altar, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's not my battle to fight. So I go to an altar and I give it to God, and God will take care of that fight for me. It's at an altar where God fights your battles. It's at an altar where you can find God again, saints of God. Genesis chapter 13, verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've been through. None of that is even relevant anymore, because you're at a brand new place today, saints. You may have walked in this place today feeling worthless and hopeless, feeling like I'm at a dead end right now and I don't know what to do and where to go. I want to tell you something. You've come to the right place. You've come to the right place. The Bible tells us in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 8, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Where I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." How does that happen? Where does that happen? I'll tell you where it happens. In the altars. In the altars. It's an altar that God can consume your sacrifice and let his fire fall upon you. Well, I want to feel more of God in my life. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's not up to anybody else. It's up to you. I want to draw closer to God. It's up to you. See, because if altars were only open during church times, we would all be in trouble. But you've got to make your place, your house, your life, your home, a place of an altar. It's a place, what basically it is, it's a prayer life. It's a prayer life, church. Do not forsake your prayer life. This may not be the thing that you wanted to hear this morning, the thing that gets you excited. I don't have blow-up machines this morning to drive the message home. I'm just telling you this morning, don't forsake your prayer life. Don't forsake your time with God. Don't forsake your time. And listen, if days have went by, I'm afraid that we have already become a country that is biblical illiterate. It's where God's people are not getting into the book. And what little time we are spending in the book, we've got a world that's doing the same and they're twisting everything and we're beginning to believe lies to be truth. You would know better if we got ourselves back in the book. Is this okay? If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to tell you where my heart's at. If you're one of our regulars, I want to tell you where my heart's at. I want to see a move of God again. I want to see lives be changed again. I want to see hearts being changed again. I want to see people back in the altars again. And not just coming down to make the preacher feel. I want to see broken homes back in the altars again. I want to see broken lives. I want to see minds of people that are almost broken back in the altars again, asking God to restore that which was lost. I want to see the addicted back in the altars again. I want to see those that have hang-ups in their lives back in the altars again. And I don't want to see them by themselves. I want to see praying saints of God that love them, embracing them, telling them that, you know what, the altar made a difference for me and the altar's going to make a difference for you. What am I saying? I'm saying this morning, there's still power in the altars. There's still power in the altars. 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah said unto the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people come near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's a message all by itself. The altar that was broken down. Some of our altars have broken down, saints. Some of our places of communication with God have broken down and we've not given it any thought to repair it again. But Elijah, he fixed it where it had broken down. And then the fire, watch this. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consume the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Basically, Elijah was saying, hey, I tell you what, you call on your God and I'll call on my God. And we'll see which God comes. There was kind of a duel. It was kind of a battle between the two. He said, I'll let you go first. And the others over here, they begin to call on their God. And nothing happened. Elijah was even saying, hey, he might be asleep. Won't you wake him up? Just kind of giggled and made fun. And nothing happened over there to their God. But Elijah, when he called on Jehovah God answered. And he came with power and he came with fire. What am I saying? It's at an altar that God can consume your sacrifice and let his fire fall again. You've lost your passion for God? Find yourself an altar. You've lost your desire to live right? Find yourself an altar. You've lost your desire to pray? You've lost your desire to worship God and to get into his presence? You've lost your desire? Then find yourself an altar and watch God's fire fall again. It's at an altar that you can have an experience. Man, that's my prayer every Sunday when I come to this place. God, let us leave here saying that I experienced God today, that I felt his presence, that he touched me where I was at in life. He met my need. He dried up my tears. He gave me joy. He gave me peace. He gave me comfort. It's at an altar that you can experience God like never before. You want to experience him? Find yourself an altar. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. My God in heaven, what would happen if God's people would begin to pray again? What would happen if God's people would begin to get stirred again? What would happen if God's people would begin to get a hunger again and a desire again and want to see God move in their lives again and want to see God restore? What would happen? Well, the Bible tells us they were all sitting in one place and where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The word utterance gave them the ability to speak in other tongues. The best thing about an altar, saints, is it is available all the time. As long as the Lord tarries, it's available. But I want you to remember, the title this morning was this: Hell Has No Altars. If you've never heard me say this, I'm going to say it again. The next event on heaven's calendar is the second coming of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? He's coming back. He's coming back again. And it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. See, hell has no place to repent. Hell has no place to find God again. Hell has no place to start over again. Hell has no place to get it right. I spoke with somebody yesterday and I said, come to church. Come to church. And I was broken when this individual said, One day I might, hopefully before I die. That's the world's views today. That I've got all the time in the world to make things right. Saints, no, you don't. And I want to take a step further. Neither does your children. And neither does your family members. Neither does your wives. Neither does your husbands. Neither does your brothers. Neither does your sisters. And I can go on and on. They don't have all the time in the world. The time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity. Today is a time where an altar is here. Right now, you have an altar. Right now, you're at a place. Right now, the time clock is ticking. Right now, you're about to walk out of here and you're about to gamble with God. You're about to roll the dice with God in hopes that today's not your last day. Do you know how many people lost that bet? I was talking with somebody earlier this morning. They said, boy, what a week this has been. This week alone, I've lost 3 family members. Just this week, 3 family members. What a week. You're not promised nothing. I want every teenager in here to hear me. You're not promised nothing. I want every rebellious person in here, man, woman, boy, and girl, I don't care what age. You think you're promised the world? You're not promised anything. You're not promised next Sunday. You're not promised any other time to make things right. So you hear this preacher today, hell has no altar. You don't get another opportunity to make things right, to repent. You don't get another opportunity to find God. Your sons, your daughters, they won't have another opportunity to find God. If they don't know Him and they leave this world, it's over. So what does that do for you? That makes you ought to find an altar and call out their names and ask God to save them. You can't repent for them, but God to hear your prayers, mama. God to hear your prayers, daddy. God to hear the prayers of the saint. God to hear your prayers. I prayed many times that conviction will touch the lives and the hearts of other people, that wherever they were at in life, listen, I couldn't save them. My prayers didn't save them, but I've got a God that heard my prayers and He touched them where they were at, and wherever they were at, they fell on their knees. They repented their lives unto God. That's the power of the altars. That's a power. That when we sacrifice things to God, the altars still work. Hell has no altars. There'll be no another time to find grace. There won't be another time to find mercy. In hell, everyone will pray and ask for mercy. Think about it. Everybody in hell, man, they're going to be praying to God, asking for forgiveness, asking for mercy. But the problem is this: hell has no altars. This is our time. This is our opportunity. This is your chance. This is your opportunity to say, God, I've got a need in my life. I need a new leaf to be turned over. This is an opportunity for you to cry on behalf of your children. This is an opportunity for you to cry on behalf of your spouse, your loved one, at an altar. This is an opportunity for you that even if you're saved, to say, you know what? I need something in my life that I know that only God can do. This is an opportunity for you. Don't wait till tomorrow. do it today. There's altars that are available. Stand to your feet with me in this auditorium this morning. As I close this message this morning, as I close this pulpit and I open these altars, if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've got a need in my life." I don't care what kind of need it is. To you and to God, it's important. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, "You know what? All is well in my life. Thank God for that. But I just need a better week this week." An altar is a place where you need to be. I need peace of mind this week. An altar is a place where you need to be. So this morning, I want to close this pulpit and I want to open these altar gates to you this morning. I want to say, if you're here today, first of all, if you're away from God,